All right, kids, it's that time again. It's time for our children's message. So go on and gather around. So this Thursday is Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. A big part of that is because of all the food that we usually eat at Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving is also just a great reminder for us to pause and to be reminded of all the things that we can be thankful for, and then give thanks for those things, give thanks for the many things that God has blessed us with. And so I was thinking today we could think of some of those things that we are thankful for. And I brought with me a thankful balloon. And so every time I say something that I am thankful for, which you might be thankful for also, we'll add a little more air, a little more thanks to the balloon, okay? So I am thankful for food. Any of you thankful for food? I am very thankful for food. All right. I am also thankful for family. I love my family, and I am so thankful for family. All right, getting bigger. I am also thankful for friends. Friends are just wonderful people to have in your life, so I am very thankful for friends. I am also thankful for Jesus, my Savior. I am very thankful for Jesus. I am thankful for a house and electricity and heat, especially during those colder nights. So let's give thanks for that. Let's see, what else? I am thankful for you all. I'm thankful for this church family and so many of you. All right, well, those are just a few of the things that I am thankful for, and there are many things. And as you can see, our balloon is now filled. And you know what? In our lives, when things are kind of going good, or when we pause and when we think of all the things that we can be thankful for, then we're usually full of praise, full of thanks, kind of like this balloon. But what happens when things aren't going so well, or we're going through a difficult time? It can be kind of hard to feel thankful or to give thanks. Maybe you lose a toy, and that can be kind of discouraging. Or especially this Thanksgiving might look and feel a bit different. And so a lot of times when we're going through difficult times or we're disappointed, we end up feeling more like this. Kind of deflated, right? But you know, God reminds us in his word in 1 Thessalonians, he says that we should give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks in the good times, give thanks even in the difficult times. And of course, it's a lot easier to give thanks and to be full of praise and full of thanks when things are going well. But also, we should be giving thanks even during difficult times, even through any circumstance that we might be going through. And so this Thanksgiving, this week, I encourage us all to pause. And even if we're going through some difficult things and things aren't really going so well, let us just still pause and give thanks, and give thanks to God, because I guarantee when you pause and when you think of all the things that you can be thankful for, things seem a whole lot better, and it keeps our attention on God and giving thanks and gratitude to God. And so, again, this can be difficult, but you know, God can help us and God can remind us of all those things that we can give thanks for. And so will you pray with me and let's give thanks to God and also ask him to remind us of so many things that we can be thankful for in good times and in difficult times. This is a repeat after me prayer. Dear God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your love. We thank you for Jesus. We ask you for help to give thanks in all circumstances, in all things, the good and the difficult. Thank you for loving us. And all of God's children said, amen.
Altered living translates at some point, in some way, one degree at a time. Altered living translates into altered giving. So last week, I encouraged you to look up some biblical passages between then and now, passages on money and wealth and possessions and generosity. You may or may not have done that. Most people aren't really drawn to these kinds of passages, but I'll tell you, they're hard to avoid if we open up our Bibles. The Bible actually talks more about money and wealth and possessions than just about anything else. Money, wealth, and possessions, they impact just about every area of our lives. And I think it's why Jesus felt led to say, where your treasure is, your heart is going to follow. Wherever you treasure something, your heart is going to go there. So last week, I also mentioned the sort of oops on the Bible reading for this week that is on the bookmark that we put together a long time ago. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4 is really referring to the initial invitation to give, and we talked about that same offering that Paul comes back to in 2 Corinthians 8, and so that didn't seem all that fantastic. The Exodus passage, Exodus 27, 30 through 34, some of you I know looked because you told me, like, there's no verse 30 through 34 in Exodus 27, and, well, I can't really preach on that, can I? So I thought to myself, even Monday, like, what passage or passages am I going to look at with the congregation to think about giving and having our giving altered in a way that reflects the glory of God? And so I thought of Luke 21 and the poor widow who gives her last two copper coins, and how I mentioned this last week, how Jesus actually highlights proportional giving, the biblical perspective of proportional giving, when he says she gave more than anyone else. Not because she gave more, but because she gave everything she had. I thought of the parable of the Good Samaritan, because giving isn't just money, and though the Good Samaritan gives some of his money to care for the person he finds on the side of the road, he also gives his time. He gives just his heart to this person that he cares for dearly. I thought of the gospel account. It's in all four gospels. Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fishes. That's always a good one. I also thought about Luke 19, where Zacchaeus is invited by Jesus to hang out. And after a meal with Jesus, he says, I'm going to give away half of everything I own, and I'm going to repay people that I've wronged as a tax collector. All those really good passages. I also thought of this obscure Exodus 36, this story of Bezalel and Oholiab and this capital campaign for the tabernacle. I thought, now that's good. You might remember a couple summers ago we did Bible Jeopardy, and obscure characters under that category, obscure characters, I think it was like obscure characters for 400. It was, who is Bezalel? We did a whole sermon from Exodus 31 and 35 on stewardship of talent, stewardship of resources, stewardship of bringing your skills to the glory of God. So I thought about that. And then I thought, well, wait a minute. Why not just continue in Paul's letter? I mentioned last week, you can keep reading on in chapter 8 and chapter 9. It's all about giving. It's all about this offering that he's calling the Corinthians to participate in. I thought, I know he has more to say about giving. We were already kind of getting familiar with the situation with the Macedonians and the Corinthians and this special over and above offering to care for the poor and the widows in Jerusalem. So we're kind of already dialed into that. So why not just continue and look further into what he writes? So here we go. Now, what you need to know between where we left off in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 15, and where we pick up in 2 Corinthians 9:6, what you need to know is that Paul has continued his, strategy for inviting the Corinthians to contribute to this offering. I'm going to actually say he does it in a not-so-gentle way. I'm going to go so far as to say he does it in a little bit of a manipulative way. And by that, I mean he actually uses a little shaming technique. He goes so far as to say that the Corinthians might be humiliated. That's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 4. They might be humiliated if he brings along some of the Macedonians with him and they're not ready to give the offering. Now, I pick on Paul a little. He's a big boy. He can defend himself. But I said last week, I'd say it again, it's possible he might stand here and say, you know, that whole fundraising kind of thing I did, like that probably wasn't my best move. It probably didn't help people hear and feel the gospel the way I wanted them to. Because if the gospel is all about God's free gift to us that we can't earn or pay back, then whenever we make people feel like they have to give or feel guilty if they don't give, we are actually sort of making the gospel complicated or fuzzy or hard to see. Now, we do need to remember, and I love what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. Most important thing he said about giving, for you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty, we might become rich. Best thing he said. That's the gospel in a nutshell. We love that Paul said that in the middle of this very practical passage. So I'm going to read the passage. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6 through verse 15. Listen for God's word. The point is this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, and he quotes, part of this is from Psalm 112. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness or justice endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be rich, you will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ, and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that he has given you. And then Paul ends with this doxology. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Let's pray. Lord, speak to us clearly, gently, lovingly, and in a way that shapes us into the very image of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen. So what else is there to learn about biblical generosity from this passage? What do we learn about giving our financial resources? What's the word of God in this for us? What do you hear, or what did you hear? What did you see? What do you feel right now as you hear these passages from Paul's letter? Now, I want to make this short and sweet. And I have to clarify, that's defined. Short and sweet is defined by someone who doesn't have a great sense of time, me, someone who is passionate about biblical stewardship, and someone who, let's just be honest, let's be sincere. That's what we said a couple weeks ago. Let's be sincere and honest. This is someone who benefits personally from your giving to First Presbyterian Church. I get it. But it is going to be short and sweet. I have four words for us today. These are four words about God's alternate plan for giving. Same words Paul had for the Corinthians 2,000 years ago. According to what Paul says, we should give willingly. We should give willingly. Paul gives the people of Corinth, again, I think he's been a little manipulative, but he gives them right here some space and some grace and some freedom to decide for themselves what they feel led to give. He says, each of you must give as you have made up your mind to do, not reluctantly or under compulsion. That means asking people to give is biblical. But arm twisting and guilting people to give is a no-no. And it's a hard tightrope to walk. I think that here at First Press, we try to walk that tension, but I'm sure we get it wrong and either for some talk too much about money or for others just talk not enough about it. And so we would love, actually, and I mean this, on that issue of how free you feel when we talk about giving, we would love some loving feedback. And I just want to emphasize the loving part. We really do want loving feedback on how we're striking that balance. And we know we're not going to please everyone. We know we're not going to get it right all the time. But we do want to get that right because we want people to give willingly. Paul says, give willingly. Then he says, give cheerfully. He actually says God loves a cheerful giver. Don't you love being around cheerful people? Or maybe you don't at certain times, right? Not during COVID, right? But mostly we love being around genuinely, authentically cheerful people. Not fake cheerful people, but people who are just genuinely cheerful. We love being around them. We like our bit of whining, don't get me wrong, but they're the ones who get us out of that whiny mood that we really don't want to stay in for too long. Cheerful people lift us up. Now, when it comes to giving, it can be hard to give, period. It can be really hard to give cheerfully. We're not sure if we'll have enough. We'd like to have more expendable income. Certainly as much as someone else has that we envy. It makes it hard to give cheerfully. We're tempted to give joylessly. But God loves a cheerful giver. And I think God loves cheerful givers because their cheerful giving is contagious. Now, having said this, I have it on pretty good authority that God is also willing to work with grumpy givers. So if that's where you are, if you're just a grumpy giver, just keep giving. God will work with you. I think there's a lot to be said for giving when you don't feel like it, or worshiping when you don't feel like it, or praying when you don't feel like it, or loving your spouse when you don't feel like it, or doing your homework when you don't like it. I mean, sometimes we're grumpy, but we do it anyway. But God loves a cheerful giver. So God loves us to give willingly. He loves us to give cheerfully. And then Paul reminds us he loves us to give confidently. Paul spends actually the most verses in our passage seeking to instill confidence in us, confidence in the Corinthians, confidence that God will supply every need, not every want, but every need. He says God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that, I love the so that by having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. And then he quotes from Psalm 112 about scattering abroad and taking care and giving to the poor. And he then says, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. In other words, he supplies for us so that we can supply for others. And if this is true, and if we're confident of this truth, that God's going to supply everything we need so that we'll be able to help others with their needs, if we're confident that we'll have plenty to live on even if we give plenty away, then we don't have to sort of hold on so tightly to our possessions. We don't have to keep everything for ourselves. We can actually give stuff away cheerfully. So Paul says, give willingly, give cheerfully, give confidently. And finally, in this passage, finally, he invites us to give gratefully. In the end, it turns out that generosity gives way to gratitude. In us, and especially in others that are recipients of our generosity. The word thanksgiving or thanks shows up three times in the last few verses of what we read in chapter 9, which I didn't think of that on the Sunday before Thanksgiving as a good idea in the first place, who knows, but it's here, thanksgiving, thanks, three times in these last few verses of chapter 9. You see, when we let go, when we give that which is close to our hearts, we make more room for Jesus. Our full hearts, full of stuff, full of worries, full of possessions, we give that stuff away and there's more room for Jesus. And Jesus, who became poor so that we might become rich, he loves to get close to us because when he's close to us, he displaces all the other things that we cling to that aren't going to do us any good anyway. And he loves to fill our hearts with gratitude, not only his presence, but with a grateful spirit. Thanksgiving, it better be more than a holiday. It's a good holiday, but it can be more than a holiday. And it can be a way of life as well as the way we give. Giving while full of thanks often results in giving others a reason to be thankful too. Those who would receive this special offering in Jerusalem, those widows and those who were impoverished, imagine how grateful, how thankful they would be. And that's what Paul wants the Corinthians to know. You can count on it. There's going to be a bunch of thankful people as you contribute to this offering. So we're talking about giving these last 2 weeks. We're going to move into Advent next Sunday. But let me just wrap this up about giving. And just remind us, we know this, giving takes many forms. We can give words of encouragement. And so let me just say, make the phone call, send the text, the email, write the letter, tell someone face to face, encourage them, and be giving in that way. Be generous with your words. We can also be generous with our time and our labor, and I don't have time now to tell you how many good Samaritans there are at First Presbyterian Church, taking care of people in so many ways that require their time and their resources and their hearts. We can give of our leadership and our abilities, and many of you do that or are thinking about doing that, giving your leadership, giving your abilities to nonprofits, to organizations, to people who are struggling as well as organizations who are struggling. I have a friend who just started volunteering at the Laurel House. And just the other day she said, this is the highlight of my week, showing up there and being present with those people. FBC is like this in so many ways. Again, I have a front seat to your generosity. I have a front seat to these stories. And it happens all around town, and it happens all around the world. And you inspire me and Shelley, and our family has been inspired to give, to be generous, to find ways to give of ourselves, to give of our financial resources, to give of our time and our abilities. And for Shelley and me, that's IJM, that's Young Life, that's being foster parents. But that's just our thing. That's just our thing. It doesn't have to be your thing. There are lots of things that God is up to that you can get excited about and give to and give of yourself to. And might I just add that there is the gift of prayer. And might I just end by saying, don't ever underestimate your prayers, the difference they make. For those of you especially who pray, the FBC prays prayers every day, every morning, evening, whenever you do it, who pray regularly for one of the kids in this church, don't ever underestimate the gift that it is to a kid, to a family. And there is and there will be a harvest in those lives because we pray. Lots of ways to give. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking each of you to give to First Presbyterian Church. I can do that. It's biblical. And I'm not going to twist arms. I don't want you to give reluctantly, but the stewardship packets that went out give you an opportunity in the next several weeks, by the end of the year, is very helpful to us to talk about. This is my estimate of giving. We know this is crazy. We know there's uncertainty, but really thinking with God, what can I give to First Press in 2021 for its mission and ministry? That's the first thing I'm asking you to give to. The second thing I'm asking you to consider is making a over and above, after you've given to the church, an over and above gift to this capital campaign that we're extending for one more year. Now, again, you heard in the announcements, if you listened to them, if you didn't, you're getting it right now. There's going to be four videos that get dropped through email and online Monday the 23rd of November, Monday the 30th, and then two others that we're going to film in the sanctuary. I would say they're 3 to 4 minutes, but the first one is six, so I'm just telling you, again, not a great perception of time. But do watch those. And again, some of you know all the details and it'll just be review, but some of you, you kind of don't know what we've been doing and don't know what you've walked into. And so there's a lot of information, that a little bit that came in the packets, more that's going to come through those videos. So I'm asking you to give to the mission and ministry of First Press in 2021. I'm asking you to consider giving over and above to the capital campaign. And I'm also asking you to give to the many other kingdom-building ministries and organizations and endeavors that reflect the love of God from one degree of glory to another. The elders gave me permission to really play up the IJM thing and the Save the Beard, Shave the Beard thing, and that was late September, I think, at our session meeting. They said, yeah, go ahead, and we were $15,000, $20,000 to the good for the year. They had no way of knowing, we had no way of knowing that we'd come to the end of October about $5,000 short. And we're okay, and we have reserves, and we're not worried. But, you know, we pushed Young Life as well. And Thursday night, as of Thursday night, we're at $95,000 of $100,000. And I know some from First Press have given to that very generously. But we're okay with that. In fact, I think if we would have known about the slight deficit and known that this pandemic was going to ramp back up, we probably would have held back. But I think God knew all that and didn't want us to know that, because he didn't want us to dial it down. He wanted us to ramp up our support for these outside ministries and so many others. So I'm asking you to give to First Press's 2021 mission and ministry, if you can, over and above to the capital campaign and to other organizations and ministries that you know are making a difference, that you're passionate about, that reflect your love for people and your love for God. Give to that as well. At FPC, we believe what Paul wrote to the Corinthians, that God will supply all of our needs, and not just our needs, but the needs of the kingdom. And I would love to have another Bezalel, Aholiab moment. Again, you can read it for yourself. Exodus 36, capital campaign for the tabernacle. Guess what? They get to a point where everyone is bringing their gifts for the tabernacle. And finally, Bezalel says, enough, too much, literally, too much. Stop giving, no more. I would love for that to happen here. And I would love for us to just keep saying, "There's, you can give to this, you can give to that, you can give to those four organizations, you can give to this ministry, check them out." And I would love for you to pursue some of that. And wouldn't it be great if those organizations sent you an email or a letter back or called you and said, "Stop, no more, no more giving. We have everything we need and more. Give somewhere else." Wouldn't that be great? Well, that's what God is working towards, because there will come a day where every need is met. And every debt is paid. And everyone is full and free. At the very beginning of our passage today, Paul tells us something else that he knows to his toes. He says, "The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." And if you don't know that yet, give it a try. Now, I don't think this means we should give to get. I don't think it always works that way. I think Paul is saying something else. I think he's saying something that deep down we know is true. The bountiful life, the full life, the abundant life, the life that we actually crave in the deepest recesses of our heart. The life we crave is the generous life, the life that we give away, the life that Jesus lived and showed us how to live. And that's the life that Jesus offers to us. So may the one who became poor so that we might become rich, may the one who gave his life, may his life alter our lives, and may we give willingly, cheerfully, confidently, and what's that last word? With thanksgiving, gratefully. Happy thanksgiving. Let's pray. Lord, we want to be grateful, and we are. We want to be generous. Help us to be like Jesus. And we want your blessings to overflow. That though this Thanksgiving will be so different than any of us envisioned or hoped for, Lord, whenever we gather around a little table with whoever we're able to gather with, even if we're all alone, God, I pray that you would help our hearts to overflow with praise and thanksgiving for the gift of Jesus and every other gift you give with him. We're grateful. We're thankful. Thank you for giving us your love. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving.